Welcome to the Rock.
Welcome to the BGP Lounge, everybody. Grab a cigar, a smoking jacket, maybe a glass of your favorite beverage, and find a comfortable place to sit. And get ready to hear the soothing sounds of Caleb Bowman. That's right, Caleb Bowman. Now, we recorded this episode in 2019, so we're really late to dropping this episode, way later than probably we should have. But, you know, it's actually really funny. You know, Caleb was a relief pitcher for App State for many years. He was a transfer student, but he had an amazing senior year, put out so many fires. I mean, arguably the MVP of last season. You know, obviously, a lot of people in that conversation, or a few people in that conversation. But Caleb, how many times did he come in and get our team out of a jam? He was such an effective pitcher and had a great career at App State. Great personality, great kid, great leader for that team. And you're all going to find out why here in a second. But it's fitting that we're still in the middle of baseball season where it should be. And of course, we're still, you know, if you're listening to this episode when we release it, the week we release it, and not sometime in the future, we're still in the middle of this, you know, COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic where, you know, nobody knows what's really going on. I mean, you have this stuff globally, you know, Italy's been hit pretty hard, and we're trying to figure out what in the world kind of numbers are going to happen in the United States. So we're all, this is all so new, and it's unprecedented. You know, sports have just, it's grinded to a halt. We don't know what to do. I mean, we're all such big sports fans, but, you know, we can still have a flavor of sports life by having episodes like this, especially with a baseball player, Caleb, being such an impactful player for App State Baseball in recent years. It's great we're able to publish this episode at a time when we don't have live baseball to talk about. So I actually think the timing here is really awesome. And, you know, our baseball coverage this year was sponsored by the Faculty Resource. I want to give them a shout out because we're not going to have quote unquote baseball coverage to talk about this season in terms of, you know, week to week, you know, analysis and previews and whatever the case may be. But we do want to give a shout out to the Faculty Resource, who will be sponsoring the rest of the episodes that we do for the rest of the season. They'll pretty much all be BGP Lounge episodes. But still, all the same, the Faculty Resource, it's a really interesting consulting service for either business owners or team leaders, sales leaders. If you manage people and you want to get the most out of the people that you manage, Faculty Resource is a great resource, right? You want to maximize your hires. Maybe you continue to hire for this one position, but you just haven't got the right person. Or maybe you have a really talented person that works for you right now. Maybe they're not doing a great job in the job they're in, but man, they would be great in another job at your company, but you just don't know it yet. The Faculty Resource uses some very, really cutting edge technology and measurable technology to give you the results that you need, so you can actually look at the characteristics of your employees, of the people that you're hiring, of the people that work for you right now, to get the most not only out of your hires but out of your existing team members. So maybe if communication's not great, maybe if you want to get the most out of your team members that are already working for you, this is something great. It'll tell you a lot about the team members you're working with. And actually, And Forth Hefner is the guy you need to call. App State grad Forth Hefner, 828-719-5051. Again, that's Forth Hefner at the Faculty Resource, 828-719-5051. I was actually one of those guys that I was in a job at one point in my life. I wasn't doing great at that job, and I got moved to another seat on the bus, and I thrived. And so when I was talking to Forth about him sponsoring, or the Faculty Resource sponsoring, baseball coverage of the spring, that really resonated, because that actually had happened to me, where I was the beneficiary of being moved to a different seat on the bus, where I was actually able to thrive. And this is where Faculty Resource can help you determine who should sit on one seat of the bus, but also get the most out of your team members, and that's what we want. But yeah, so it's gonna just be a different spring, but that's okay. We're gonna have football coaches, we'll have basketball players, we're still gonna have a really entertaining, really fun slate of episodes to cover the spring. We're gonna have episodes every week. That's not gonna be an issue. But I did think, you know, starting off this, you know, this post coronavirus environment that we're having, where there's no live sports going on for more than a week, that we do with a former baseball player here in the middle of baseball season. You know, this is the weekend. This past weekend, we should have been playing at home against Louisiana, playing baseball at home at the Beeve against Louisiana, and those are always great matchups. And we didn't get it. So it is what it is. I know that Coach Smith and the coaches and the players are absolutely crushed that they're not able to capitalize on the progress that they've made. But the good news is these kids get an extra year of eligibility, which is great, which is, I think, the right move. But anyway, so it's a confusing time, you know, for BGP listeners that are still listening, still want App State content. Black Gold Podcast is going to deliver it. We're proud to have our sponsors that support the show. We're still going to feed as much content to you, the BGP listeners, as possible, because at the end of the day, we love doing this stuff too. Even though we're all kind of longing for current stuff, whether it's a spring game, a spring scrimmage for football, getting football updates, reading practice reports, following baseball, following softball, following what's happening, like actually happening. You know, that's something. And also basketball could have played a postseason tournament, and that could have been more, but it is what it is. We're in uncharted territory, but we're still going to make content. So thank you to everybody that has been listening and still supports the show. But for now, what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. And when we come back from that very quick break, you're going to hear from App State pitcher up until last season, Caleb Bowman. And we are back here at the BGP Lounge, and it is an honor and privilege to be recording precisely at bow time with the one and only Caleb Bowman. Sir, how are you doing?
I'm great, y'all. Thanks for having me on the show. And I listen to them all the time, and it's just an honor to be on it.
You know, well, speaking of honor, we just said this off air, I guess. It's so weird to say like off air because we're not broadcasting over airwaves, but it is an honor to have a pitcher that has recorded more than one out in an inning on our show this year.
It's been a while, you know.
Oh my!
Okay, so I'm gonna make a prediction real quick. I'm going to post this particular episode, and within 2 hours. Depends on when I upload.
2 hours.
Within 2 hours of it. Okay, let me put it this way. If I post it late at night, like at 11 o'clock, say, it's not within 2 hours, but before 8 a.m., I will get a text message from Tristan Helms saying, "You guys are jerks." I promise you.
And we'll be like, our bad.
He'll eat you all alive, that's for sure.
Well, I mean, he'll try, or I don't know.
He'll try.
He could try, but no, seriously. It you know, we have this is a 3-year Black and Gold Podcast tradition to have graduating seniors on the Black and Gold Podcast after baseball season. And so, you know, we start off with Sean Mason, Matt Schaefer, moved on to actually CJ Brown was a little early. We kind of stuck him in their junior year, and then of course Tristan Helms. And now Caleb Bowman, and it just so happens, you know, no disrespect to those other guys at all, but Caleb, you were arguably the MVP this year. There are so many times you came in critical moments and got us out of jams. I mean, time after time, I mean, you logged so many innings, so many 2- and 3-inning appearances. You were a stud, man. So we're really thrilled to have you on here. As somebody that was just so valuable to the on-field performance of the team. Of course, I know you're a leader in the clubhouse, but, man, you just had a great year, so congrats.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for that. Yeah, that means a lot.
So what is it like to have a season where you were hoping that you were probably thinking beginning of the year, like, I'm going to go in and like maybe pitch an inning or two, like maybe like a weekend, like it'd be a setup guy. Oh, and to go from that to, what was it, 62 innings? Like, was that what the number was?
Yeah, that's what I ended up with.
I mean, that's starter number, like, innings.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, and there was a point of the season where you, like, really kind of, like, switched the, like, the flip switch. You're like, all right, Galen's coming out. Hopefully he can get us to 60, 70, 80 pitches. And that's what we needed sometimes.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it helped, obviously, like you said, being the relief guy, normally going the one, the two innings, especially like junior year, what I was normally doing. When Coach sat down with our preseason meetings on that, he kind of hinted at that, like, hey, you're going to be using every different role this year. And he even hinted that, hey, you might be able to get a midweek start early in the year, just kind of see how it goes. Obviously, that didn't happen, but obviously just him preparing me for that, he kind of had my mind already thinking that way and just, hey, I'm not a one inning guy. Like, I gotta prep myself for more than one and just go get my team best I can for as long as I can. So
it's not even that though. Like, it's not, hey, we need you for a couple of junk innings. Like, you came in when we really needed for the other team to not score, and you came through so often. And obviously, like, you put a guy in enough situations where, say, there's a guy on base or whatever. Eventually, you know, it's impossible to hold the water back. You know, sometimes the dam breaks, right? I mean, that's just that's baseball. But man, I mean, just
absolutely, yeah.
Let's put it this way: watch baseball, and believe me, this year was a lot more fun to watch than the previous three seasons that we've covered. But there are certain players, well, not certain players. Every player kind of gives you a feeling like, I feel good about this. Like, you know, for example, I think it was that Sunday game down in Lafayette when I want to say it was Drum came up. Was it the ninth or eighth? He came up with like one out.
It was the ninth inning. I know. Yep.
And I'm like, I feel so good right now that Drum Eller is up to bat. I mean, he's our best hitter. there was no fear in that kid. Yeah. You know, so like certain players come out, you're like, okay, I feel good about this. I feel good. Whether it's rational or not, right? And anytime you came in the game, I was like, whew, okay, they got bow time in there. And it just felt better about the situation. And yeah, you guys had some guys score runs on you. I mean, that, you know, it happens, but the feeling was always like, all right, the fire's about to be put out here. And, we had a huge swing this year in performance. Yeah. That last stretch was ugly, but overall, this season was just way more fun. Just way, way, way more fun.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. I mean, it helps when you got a class that comes in and just they're excited to win, and you got the coaches that preach the, like I said, we don't take no for an answer. We're getting to Omaha. Obviously, that didn't happen, but when you have that mindset, you're going in the right direction. The coaching staff and all the players that are still there, they have that mentality, and I think you're going to see changes every single year, just up and up. That's for sure.
Yeah, no, I agree. So we love doing this. It's actually personally my favorite type of icebreaker to start conversations with former players. I love hearing the journey to get to App State. I love that. So obviously you're a Virginia guy. Okay. Talk about your entire, I mean, from high school, I know obviously you're a transfer guy. How did you get to App State? Mm-hmm. Just take us through that whole process. It's fascinating to me.
All right. So I remember sitting down and just talking about this a little bit ago with our marketing department when they were putting out a video on Twitter. But it's been a crazy ride. When I was the beginning of my sophomore year, actually the first month of my sophomore year of high school, I committed to the University of South Carolina after a tournament down in Florida. And I was committed to them all the way up until senior year of high school. And then after an injury, they pulled my scholarship. And they were still very nice and all and said, like, hey, we still want you. You still have a roster spot, but we just have no money for you. So it's going to be pretty much like a walk-on. So they said, if we understand if you need to open up your opportunities and everything and just explore what's best for you. But it was so late in the process. Like I said, it was already middle of senior year. So I started talking to some other little schools here and there, some smaller D1s, some D2s. But none of it felt like the right fit. So actually, one of my best friends from Virginia, he moved to South Carolina. He was committed to Spartanburg Methodist College, which is the junior college in South Carolina. And he said, hey, man, I think this is going to be a great fit for you. Like, you'll stay in the state of South Carolina, which I've always been a Carolina guy. I like those two states a lot. And So I ended up going to Spartanburg Methodist and just had 2 years there. The year I got in there, we had a new pitching coach, and he helped me develop more and more, helped me back from injury. And then the fall of my sophomore year of junior college, Coach Smith came down. It was like either Tuesday or Wednesday, and just asked for me and a couple other guys on the team to throw bullpens. And our coach said, absolutely. So all I remember is throwing about 15 pitches and down in our bullpen and right field. And Coach Smith was sitting behind the screen and behind the catcher and just with the radar gun. And then a couple days later, I got a call from him just asking me to come up on a visit and that they really liked what they saw. And so a couple weeks later, I think it was over Thanksgiving break or somewhere around then, I came up and visited with Coach Smith, and he was actually the only one up there at the time. So I just met with him. Yeah, there was no other coaches there. No players were there. So I didn't meet anyone except Coach Smith. And my parents actually got to come down for it. They drove down the six and a half hours. And he took us around campus and just got to see it all. And then showed us the baseball facilities and the weight room down at the football field. And then took us into that office. And we say when he gets in that office, you're set. Once he starts talking to you, you are locked in. And it's honestly true, because he is a man of his word, and he doesn't BS around anything. He goes right into it and says, I want to make him the best son, the best father, and husband he can be, and doesn't talk about baseball originally and just talks about that. And then he talked about how that God works in crazy ways, and that he was a strong Christian, and my dad being a pastor and growing up in a Christian household, that really hit home with me too. So, and then obviously the mountains. Obviously, I live at the bottom of the mountains up in Virginia, so it really seemed like home. Obviously, it's a little colder in Boston here in Virginia, but it really felt like home. And about a couple weeks later, I committed and signed the NOI. So that's how I ended up there.
It's hard to not. Go ahead,
AJ. Did at some point when you're listening to Caleb here, he's picturing a story of you've been in an office, we've been there.
Oh yeah.
And he gets down and has this conversation. He's talked to us about this a lot. He says this in many different phases. Did you guys just get like some chill bumps there?
Yeah, for sure.
Like thinking about like having that like a grown man conversation with a family and strong Christians and all that. Did that not just like I did to me at least. Just like, man, that sounds, the hair sit up on the back of my neck and all that good stuff.
Yeah, but I think it, Big C, I think, yes, 100% to answer your question. Because I too, just like you, kind of went back to February 2017 when we set up our first conversation with Coach Smith. And we hadn't seen him manage a single game. We haven't seen him. I don't think we've seen him recruit anybody or anything. And we both walked out of there saying, App State baseball is going to win with this guy. And we were at a really low point. Absolutely. Really low point. And we had just fired a coach who still had a year left on his contract. I mean, that's how bad it was. And we both had all this confidence that things were going to change positively for App State baseball. And former players and guys that currently play with them, they say the same thing year in and year out. So I think part of those chill bumps are like, we didn't get fooled, what he was saying in his office. And I don't know if you know this, Caleb, but when we got up there to record him for the first time, I was driving behind, up that windy road up to the stadium. I was following an Old Dominion truck, and it was going super slow. And so I got
to snowing.
It was snowing. That's right. Exactly right. The whole field was covered. I know it's hard to believe. But I get up there. And I said, hey, coach, sorry. I was, we were stuck behind this Old Dominion truck, and it was just taking forever to get up here. And he like stopped me in mid-sentence. He's like, is the truck here? I was like, yeah, I guess it's out there. And he forgot I was in the room. He just went out in the parking lot and brought one of the first things he did early in that year was he had those Omaha office chairs made, and we're kind of we're kind of sitting there looking at him kind of unpack these chairs, and the staff and the coaches are pumped, and and he's like, oh yeah, and he's pumped. I was like, this is bold, in a good way. Like we weren't being skeptical. We were like, this is bold.
And absolutely.
He said, if you're not playing for Omaha, why are you playing? And we both were like, oh, we haven't even talked to this guy yet. and here we are. We're pumped.
That's your impression of him right there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, the fact that you're one of his guys that he kind of he wanted you on the squad. He wanted to be part of the App State family. He's super cool. He's super, super cool.
Definitely.
So, all right. Yeah. So, 2 years at App State. Give us some memories, man. I mean, we're going to talk about this season, but talk about some memories. I mean, you were here for only 2 years, but that's enough to make a lot of good memories.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 2 years worth of memories. It was crazy, obviously. It's been two of my best years of my life. Just the guys I've been with each 2 years and just the brothers that you make with them. Obviously, nothing tops that, but just kind of some of the certain memories that just immediately come to mind during the two seasons I had was the first big one is kind of a more of a personal memory and a kind of a family memory with when we went down to UTA the first year or my junior year and we swept them. Arlington, Texas is actually my hometown. I grew up about 10 minutes from that stadium.
Oh, wow.
So that was just, it was such a cool experience to get to go back to my hometown and play. And like I said, never, since I moved to Virginia and playing in the Carolinas, I never thought I'd be back in Arlington, Texas playing baseball, which is obviously, I was young when I was down there, so I only played t-ball and stuff like that there. So getting to go back there, and actually it was bigger. My grandma had previously passed away in that January, and her husband was buried down in a cemetery down in Arlington, so we had her cremated up here in Virginia and had her service up here. But we when we went down in May, or it was either late April or May, we got to take her down and bury her next to my grandpa. So we had a little service there, and all my family from Ohio, Michigan, Texas, everyone, and all of us obviously Virginia actually flew down that weekend, and that was the first time my family's really seen me play. I mean, not my personal family, I'm a mom and dad, but all my extended family's got to see me play. So we got to go down there. Obviously, we had three great games and swept them, and just being in my hometown, it was a really cool feel. So that's probably the big memory that stands out to me in these 2 years. That was a big one, I guess you could say. But
Keep going. I know you got more, but I'm just saying that's a really unique and specific memory. That's really awesome.
Yeah. That one helped. Just like I said, just that was the one that you think of my 2 years there. That's the one I always remember. But obviously, going down to Lafayette, never being there and that atmosphere, just playing in front of 4,000 in each game, just on a, like I said, just a normal weekend, not like it was a regional or super regional, but the fans that get there is incredible. And just being able to come in those two games and get the win and win in both of them, which was obviously, that's personal, but the team obviously, like I said, get drum up in the ninth inning, you had that kind of that sense of the calmness that you're like, okay, this is going to happen right here, and he got that. And just those two wins, and then the ovation, like the fans, like, yeah, they'll heckle you all game. Like, obviously, a couple of times in my junior year, I got the song, but Lafayette, they play it loud on the speaker. I got Aerosmith's "Dude Looks Like a Lady" when I first came in the first time as my walkout. So they kind of roasted me there, but yeah, I started laughing a little bit, but there was this guy behind our dugout just, is that a wig? Is that a wig? I was getting cat calls, and so it was pretty funny. Just all that whole weekend building up, but then right after the game, there was just the hospitality they give you. Obviously, they feed you right there at the field and the Cajun Cafe and all that stuff. It was so cool to go down there, and just a smaller town like Lafayette, but they just get behind that baseball team and they love on them. And then just we got to play them really well down there. So that was probably another memory that I love from that. So.
Man.
All right, I'm very curious here. I've heard all these great stories about the Cajun Cooking Club down there. So do they feed everybody like after the game? I mean, sorry, we started talking about food, and my mind just went completely in the other direction. So they feed the opposing teams?
Yeah, they feed the opposing teams. So after the game, instead of like obviously like most teams go out to like a Chili's or get like catering food, they actually feed you right after the game. So you walk out of your dugout because you're on the first base side and. The cooking club's down the first base line. So after you walk out of your dugout, you get a full platter of some whatever meal they made that day. So you get a walk out, you get that a huge tray of it, and then you get some drinks, and you just head right to your bus.
Wow,
that's really cool.
Yeah.
All right. So so what did you get to eat this past year when you went down to Lafayette? Like, what did you have something different every night or?
Yeah, every night. So the first night was a spicy shrimp Alfredo with a couple sides. That was easily my favorite one. I'm a big spicy guy. So, but that was, I mean, when I say spicy, like you're not, that was some spicy food down there. Like, it's like a different type of spice down there. It kind of lit us all up, but we loved it. And then the second night was what was it? I forget what the second night was, but our getaway won the day, actually. So the game three obviously went right up to our getaway time. So we didn't actually, we got out. We won the game. Coach just won. All right, let's get on the bus. Like, so we run, we grab our food, and we actually don't even get to go shower anywhere. So we drove to New Orleans, get in the airport, and the whole flight home and drive back from Charlotte, none of us had showered yet. So obviously that plane and everything just smelled awful, but it was, it's, you're with your boys. No one cares. We just won the series.
Yeah, boy.
But that, sorry.
I said, yeah, boy, who cares if you smell? You win.
That's what we're saying. So we were back playing, just having fun. So actually that meal was like a chicken and just some good sides, and they had so many extras. So the back of the bus, like the seniors, we had probably 10 extra trays in the back just sitting back there because we were so hyped up. None of us actually ate really because we were just going crazy and just, but it was fun. So everybody, like, right when we're getting on, right at the airport, everyone starts scarfing down some food because, like, oh, wait, we can't take this in. We got to eat this now. So you see, it's all just stuff in our face right before we get in the airport. But that was a really cool time, too.
Wow. I love that. You know it's good when you can remember, like, the specific meal that you had after, like, you know, an event. That's when you know the food was really good. And the event was fun for you as well because it was a great memory that day. So
For sure.
I can see how you may have forgotten what you had on Saturday, but the most important part is what you had on Friday and Sunday.
There we go. Yeah, we remember the two meals we went in that day. We didn't like that much. We forget. I don't know what we had that day.
That's
really cool.
So definitely.
We really need to step our game up when Lafayette comes to Boone, because last time they came up to Boone, all we did was heckle a little bench player that I think transferred. We asked him if he loved his mama and if alligators had all them teeth and no toothbrush, and just heckling the Cajun little son of a gun. Yeah, anyway, yeah. So we need to. I don't know, but so we've all heard about the Lafayette baseball program and just how successful they've been.
Yeah,
is that that's the best conference road trip, right?
Oh, personally, yeah. Like, I mean, just the atmosphere, putting everything together, the legendary team, the atmosphere, this little, like I said, this town that's kind of like, you got a hotel, like, right on the edge of campus, and you got the campus, but you don't see anything else. It's just like a big grass field. You don't really see anything. So it's just a little town, it seems like, but then you see all these people just pile into that. I mean, it's was my favorite over the seniors for sure.
So what about Coastal? How's Coastal compare? Because they're a huge baseball school too.
Yeah, so Coastal school, obviously, I think they compete. I mean, their fans maybe not get behind as much as Lafayette, but obviously with the Sun Belt tournament this year, there we got to see a little more fans, and it was the end of the year. So, but their stadium is, I mean, second to none. They got the great indoor, or not indoor, but hitting facility in the back, which is pretty much like a full infield. They got the nice big dugouts where you're not worried about cramming a space like at Arkansas State. They got just the wraparound bleachers, their Adirondack chairs. The bullpens are out in the outfield where you can see into the field, where you're not kind of like us where we're out on the side and try to look around the corner to see. Obviously, we can see everything, but then they got the little catwalk around the outfield wall, so even when you're down the bullpen, you can interact with the fans in a little bit. So that was really cool too, but I'd say fan-wise, Lafayette has them beat a little bit, but everything else, I'd say Coast is right there.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. So let's talk current stuff real quick. You know, we had we had Coach on a couple weeks ago, or was it last week? Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
I mean, it was last week.
It was last. Okay. Yeah, it was last.
We've been busy.
Yeah, and I don't really know when we're going to release this particular episode, but we're recording this after our official, quote unquote, season ends with us covering current sports, because sports are over now. So whenever anybody listens to this episode, that's when we're recording this. So,
okay.
So all right. So we listen. Obviously, we start off ice cold, getting shut out for the weekend. Mm-hmm. Tennessee pick up a little steam, and then we have a really nice run until the last couple weeks of the season, two or three weeks of the season. How would you diagnose this season from your perspective? plenty of highs, some really super lows in particular points, right? How would you assess this season? How do you analyze it now that you've had a few weeks to breathe?
Well, like you said, we started off a little slow. Obviously, to in our kind of a view, we don't see the slow. We started off with Tennessee, which, if you remember, they started off about 14-0, and their pitching staff is easily top five in this nation right now. They were absolutely incredible with what they did that weekend.
Yeah.
And obviously, I think our pitching, we held our own that weekend. We lost, I think it was a 6-0, a 2-0, and they were all super close games.
Yes, they were.
So we held our own. Obviously, a little more talent with SEC, but I think we go out there middle of the year. I think we take definitely one, if not two, from them. I mean, we started playing well, like I said, in the middle of the year, and just started going on rolls with the Monroe, the UTA series, Lafayette, obviously. But and then obviously you get to the end of the season, and I think it was just more not we weren't focused or anything, but it was just a little tired and just obviously the Sun Belt's it's a hard conference with the travel and everything. Granted, we didn't travel nearly as much as we did in my junior year, but just the traveling and just a younger team and just not knowing with the end of the year schoolwork and all that stuff too, because obviously exams are during that time, especially the South Alabama series. We had just finished up where we're doing exams and the graduation and all that stuff. So it was like just a really busy week, and I think just some of us not losing focus, but just tired out, and just had to kind of get our head back on straight and just remember what we're here for, and that the Sun Belt tournament was in reach, and we had a great chance to be a top seed in it. And obviously we fell off a little bit, but we still salvaged it and did what we needed to do to make the first Sun Belt tournament. Obviously it didn't go as planned, but I think you just, what's different about this team is that we didn't play like we were supposed to lose all these games. Like the last year we get down in the game 1-0, 2-0. We didn't really win much of those. I don't think, if we were ever past the 6th, 7th inning, we ever came back and won. But you saw that difference this year with that team. It was just hey, we're never out of this. I don't care who we're playing. You can put UCLA, who's the number one team in the nation right now, across from it. We're gonna fight to the very last pitch. So I think that was the big difference this year. But like you said, we hit that little road bump in the middle, but we came back, and obviously we wish we could have gone a little further, but that's how it is. And like you said, it's baseball, so. But obviously we're going in the right direction, and I'm so excited to keep watching these next few years and see what they all do.
Yeah, I think, you know, we touched, you know, I hate to sound repetitive for those that are listening or whatever, back-to-back episodes or whatever, and actually, I don't care, but, you know, it takes a lot it takes a lot of energy to win for the first time, you know, to be a winning team for the first time. And especially, and look, obviously anybody listens to the show, we're not hating on anybody, but, you know, starting pitching wore thin as the year went on. You know, you had Tuttle and Boone that were really rock solid for really consistently the whole year. The other guys, no disrespect to those guys, weren't as consistent, right? I mean, you just kind of look at numbers. Baseball's a game of numbers. You just can kind of see what's been going on. And like Charles mentioned at the top, man, you were like a starter but with how many innings you logged, and you'd never started a game. So
So
flying a little close to the sun, figuring out, wow, this is the kind of effort it takes, especially when you're probably a little thin at the starting pitcher position, which is, of course, extremely important. Takes a lot of energy. And this was the first time, and obviously, you know, you experienced this year and last year, but this is our fourth baseball season we've covered. Charles, how many times before this year has the offense completely bailed out the team before this year? Since we started covering in 2016?
We can probably count them on one hand, honestly.
Yeah.
If it happened, then it hasn't happened a lot.
Yeah.
But it happened quite often this year.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference is that you know, we talked about these comeback wins, but, you know, in times where we score late, but you really didn't feel like, you know, if you were in one of those 6-2 games in the 7th, you start counting, you're like, oh man, we're down to 8 outs. How are we going to, you know, scratch 4 across and tie this game? But you saw a little bit more of that this year, and you know, you saw a pitching staff that could, and thanks to Cale, quite honestly, who would continue to compete in, you know, in the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th, and we wouldn't have one of those games where you're like, all right, we got to eat some innings here. I hate saying that because it sounds like you're throwing pitchers out there who are terrible, but they're still Division I pitchers. But I mean, everybody knows. It kind of happens sometimes. There's some games you just kind of got to wave the white flag every now and then. But I mean, that's what the difference of this season was in the past is that, you know, you had that, you had a little pop of that offense, and that can make some pitchers look really good sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, especially if they can go out there in relief and go and get four and five innings.
Oh, yeah.
So,
another point, like you said, like,
go ahead. No, you go ahead. Okay. What's your point?
I was going to say, obviously Tut was one of our best guys this year. I mean, he's a freshman year like that. That's incredible. I mean, that dude has a chance to be conference pitcher of the year for a year or two coming. But, we were noticed, four or five of his first, like, five or six starts, he got eight or more runs scored. And like you said, pitching with that run sport, it's something else. It's fun. Like, you gotta go out there and act like, obviously you want to be perfect, but you don't have to be that perfect. You have a little hit here or there, nothing's going to be a problem. But, like, how incredible he was with that. Like, he got a pitch with that run support, and obviously coming down the line, it was he did the same thing. I mean, he's just incredible all year for us. But when you get that run support, it's like, hey, I got all the world on my shoulders right now. I can go do what I want to do as a pitcher. And it just, like you said, it bails you out and just lets you do what you need to do.
You can take a little more risk, too, as a pitcher, too. You can work on a little more stuff.
Yeah,
you know, you don't have to. You don't have to feel absolutely. Like you have a little margin to play with to maybe improve your game time situation pitching. You know, it helps you grow. You know, I mean, look, I mean, we're not always going to get eight runs to support our starts, but yeah,
exactly.
That's definitely a mental boost. Whether it is being able to work a little differently, but take more risks, but also just kind of mentally, like, all right, great, these guys have my back. And so, anyways, I mean, ever since Coach Smith got to Boone, you know, we've seen the body language of this team just get better and better. And we even referenced with Coach that it was really that Lafayette series, that last out of that Friday night game, everybody kind of acted like we were supposed to win that game, and that we hadn't seen that since, frankly, probably 2013. And that was such a welcome view from us. Is great. But anyway, so tell us about the trip down to Miami and seeing all, you know, just having that spring break away from everything and being able to play FAU, who turned out to be a great team this year.
Cool.
Yeah, talk absolutely. About that.
Yeah, and Miami too, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, Miami's typically always good. Well, they both are typically absolutely. Really good.
So, yeah, exactly. But, so obviously all the returners, we know we were our junior year or whatever year it was, the year before, we were at home for spring break. So we kind of, you know, just the cold Boone in early March with, I mean, obviously during the Marshall series, it was snowing and we had all this stuff. So it was, we found out we were going to Miami for spring break, and you should have seen us in the locker room. We got lit up and we were just like, let's go. Like we can have a little nice weather down here and get a pitch in warmth before, April in Boone. So obviously we were super excited for that, but we get the trip down there was fun, obviously being with the guys, and then we get there and normally we get a bus to take around to the team, like a charter bus, and just drive around the whole team. We actually had four vans, and so there was about 10 of us in each van, and so that was actually really cool. We thought it was going to be weird, but, like, you got to change vans every once in a while and just get with different guys, get a little closer with them, and just hear different stories. So that was really cool. And just obviously we went down there for a business trip and play FAU in Miami, but we got to go to the spring training facility that the Marlins and Cardinals have. And Hector Crespo, who played at App, he got to take us around. And obviously we saw Derek Jeter and Bailey's whole wrinkle situation happen.
He was ready for it.
Yeah, exactly.
How
so,
embarrassing.
But all that, it was just, we got to practice there at the big league. Just kind of feel like what it feels like, hey, this is what it could be at the next level. So just kind of got us excited. And just people, like especially the younger guys, freshmen that haven't really seen that stuff, that was really cool for them. And then got to do some other things. Like one day, just randomly, we took a van over to the outlet, just kind of enjoy a day there. Obviously, we got to see Miami Marlins Park, and that, I mean, if I've been there before, but all the guys there, I mean, that's one of the cooler parks to see. It's not, obviously, it doesn't get better for their games, but, like, the little aquarium behind them played, and just all the different memorabilia there and all that stuff was really cool to see. So, just that trip was, it's something to remember. And then, obviously, we go to FAU, and Boone has a great start that game, and we get to hang on for the win. And just, like you said, they're a two-seed in the regional, or were a two-seed in the regional, and like what a game we had against them, and you got to say we beat them. And then the next day we go over to Miami, and honestly we stay in that game a long time. One play here or there changes, and it's really a runner one or two run ball game. Obviously it turned out, I think it was like 6-1, but It was a really close game. It never felt like we were out of it, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Where it was like the score shows maybe a little worse, but we were never out of it. And that fan base there was pretty cool. So, and obviously they were, I think they were a 2 seed as well, or 2 or 3 seed, but they had a great year. So it was just cool to go down there and play a little really good competition early in the year to kind of just get our feet wet and ready for the Sun Belt, because obviously Sun Belt's always top. And you get to see the best competition with them, not best, but some of the best competition in the nation with them. So it was cool to get our feet wet early in the season instead of just having to jump right into Sun Belt.
Do the Marlins still play at, is it still called Roger Dean Stadium?
Roger Dean Stadium's the, spring training facility. So yeah, it's still Roger Dean Stadium. So them and the Cardinals are together. So
right.
There was like two different names, but yeah, the main one's Roger Dean Stadium, like the big stadium that there's one big stadium that they share, and it's Roger Dean Stadium. So that's, yeah, it's still down there. And obviously after Jupiter is every year. So the Jupiter underclass tournament that all the high school guys get to go to. But yeah, so it was, I'm sure some of the guys got to be there, but just being there again with, like I said, with the team and sitting down the line and getting foul balls, this and that, it was really cool. And speaking, we also got to see Justin Verlander that day too, so that was a big plus too.
That's a huge deal. I say that because I actually pitched in Roger Dean Stadium on those fields back there way back in the day. It was just the Cardinals, though. It wasn't the Marlins too. So that was before they shared it. Yeah. And I saw, when I was much younger, I saw Rick Ankiel pitch the first spring after. Do you know who Rick Ankiel is?
Oh, I do. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
One of the best times I've ever played in the outfield.
Oh, he's awesome. Well, do you know he was a pitcher? Did you know that? Okay.
Absolutely. I knew he was a pitcher.
Okay.
I remember him talking about that. So that's why, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So Rick Ankiel, he's actually from Port St. Lucie, where I grew up, about 45 minutes north of Jupiter, where Roger Dean Stadium is. But he had that, I think it was the 2001 playoffs where he threw, I think, 6 wild pitches in one game. And he, lost his mind, right?
Okay.
And they, do you not remember this? Are you not aware of this?
I've never heard this one.
This is amazing. This is amazing.
He loses his mind, and then they,
Yeah.
It was ugly. I wasn't that much of a baseball fan then, but I remember this. This is one of those baseball
moments. Oh, yeah. Okay. It's unbelievable. And
yeah, I was 4 years old, so.
Okay, thank you for that. So anyway, so Rick Ankiel, 2001. He was, so 1999, 2000, he was rated as one of the greatest pitching prospects in America. And, he had one of the best curveballs ever. I mean, it was amazing. He had a great arm. And he was the next big thing, the next Steve Carlton. He was incredible, and he was really good until that playoff game. And I want to say the number 6, I think he threw 6 wild pitches, and everybody's kind of it was on ESPN. They were playing the Braves, and everyone's kind of like, well, and the announcers are like, what's going on with this kid? So he lost the ability to pitch. And so the following spring, of course, the Cardinals, I want to say they went on and won that series. But anyway, so he didn't pitch the rest of the series or whatever. So when he came back in spring 2002, everyone's kind of like, what's he going to do? Can he pitch? Can he throw straight? And he was still wild in the spring. He was throwing wild pitches. So he dropped out of baseball, couldn't cut it, and then decided to work out and try to come back as an outfielder. And he did it. And he came back and was actually
like right field
and center field. He played center field too.
He played center field a lot too. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's a tremendous athlete, and as you're obviously well aware, but
sure.
He was one of the biggest pitching prospects in the country. And I actually played Little League with his high school catcher's brother. And they always talked about how great Rick was, and everyone just talked so highly of him. This was before all that stuff happened. And so it was really, really interesting to see his evolution as a guy that was athletic enough, not only to pitch in baseball, but he came back as an outfielder, which is amazing. So that, I guess that means you don't know who Chuck Knobloch is either.
I know who Chuck Knobloch is.
Do you know that he lost his mind? Name. Yeah, he lost his mind and couldn't throw it from second base to first base. You're aware of that? Because they had to stick him in the outfield. That's pretty much the Rick Ankiel syndrome. He couldn't throw the freaking ball. So, kind of like Tristan Helms from the pitcher's mound to home plate. But jokes, folks, we're joking here.
Tristan, I didn't say that, Tristan. I promise.
Come on, we're all having fun here. It's all a brotherhood, the BGP brotherhood here. Come on, we're just so. Absolutely. So, what kind of So first, actually, I was going to ask you this. How horrified was Derek Jeter at how sloppy Bailey Welch looked?
Honestly, he was in that golf cart, and I forget who yelled out, but I don't think he was going to stop because, I mean, Bailey was one of the first guys in line. He's telling him, he's like, oh, we got to get through this. We can't stop him for these guys. But then he stopped, obviously, and brought up the Michigan game. But he must have been horrified because he kept his glasses on. Said, let's get out of here quick.
So Bailey Welch is the reason why we don't have an endowed baseball scholarship at Appalachian State. Got it. Understood.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Bailey
absolutely.
Costs us millions of dollars.
That and why we don't have pictures with Derek Jeter, just us all standing there actually smiling and not just with our backs turned.
What a bum. What are you going to do? So, all right. So talk about – I hate saying talk about, but I really want to know what your background in baseball fandom is, what teams you pull for growing up, what players did you admire? Okay. I know you're from Texas, so, like, what – give us some background on that.
Yeah. So, I'm obviously being from Arlington, I'm a huge Texas Rangers fan.
There you go.
You know, we had a good run in 2011, 2012 when I got really excited. Obviously, we're back to kind of the bottom and never great, but, hey – Your team's your team, and you gotta stay behind them no matter what.
That's right.
They're my team. But growing up, also was a Red Sox fan, just because my dad he grew up in Pennsylvania and was a Red Sox fan because of his dad. So I watched them, just kind of got some memorabilia from them. But Johnny Damon was one of my players I watched. He was on that 2004 team, just with his long hair, obviously, which I never imagined I'd have long hair. But he was just the little caveman dude, and me and my next door neighbor loved him. I mean, I had his jersey. Actually, when he got traded to the Yankees, I just put a piece of tape over his name so I didn't have to get rid of the jersey. Like, I wasn't one of those guys that had to go burn the jersey, but Johnny Damon was one of my first guys I loved, but Josh Hamilton was my favorite player. Like, I mean, just the what he could do and just how he admired the game of baseball. Obviously, didn't get to do exactly what he could, obviously, with all the problems, but he's the guy I've looked up to, just obviously not in some ways I've looked up to him, but in the baseball way, yeah. I've looked up to him. How incredible a player he is! He's been my dude since honestly, his biography beyond belief is probably one of the only books I've read cover to cover. Like, I'm not a big reader, and I'd say probably three or four books total, besides like little elementary school books that I've read cover to cover, and his is one of them. And he just, that's how big he was to me, but. That was my dude growing up, but pitcher-wise, it's I was always a Josh Beckett fan. When he was with the Red Sox, and obviously the Marlins first, but he was kind of the guy I watched early on growing up. I won't say I modeled my game after him, but he was the guy I watched, and then now obviously living 45 minutes from DC, Max Scherzer is hard not to watch.
Oh,
so
yeah, for sure.
He's that dude that you just, everyone watches him, and just the way he pitches, and just how he's in control, and just it's fun to watch him. And obviously, being close, I've got to see him a couple of times. But those are the guys I kind of watched growing up in my teams. But honestly, I'm a baseball fan like y'all. It's just I could turn on any game and be perfectly fine.
Right. Oh yeah, yeah. Now, Josh, you say Josh Beckett, man. I think a lot of young pitchers, you know, lack the edge that he had. He's one of the greatest postseason pitchers ever.
Oh yeah.
You know, I lived in South Florida at the time when the Marlins won the World Series in 2003. And one of the stories that Dontrelle Willis, because Dontrelle Willis got really, really popular there in the early 2000s. Down there in Miami.
Detroit, baby.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. I'll never forget. I mean, this is kind of why guys kind of, I think, just really like Josh. I mean, Josh Beckett didn't have great career numbers, but just a lot of guys gravitated towards his you know, his guts and just grittiness. He was on 3 days rest in New York for game six of the World Series, and the Marlins are obviously up 3-2. And Dontrelle Willis told the story that Beckett was in the bullpen just kind of walking around, and Dontrelle Willis was out there. No, Dontrelle Willis was in the outfield, I guess, throwing or shagging fly balls or in BP.
Yeah.
And Beckett's walking out to the bullpen. And he walks by Dontrelle Willis, like, as calm as a cucumber, and he said, what's your ring size? And he just kept walking. And in 3 days rest, I mean, like, this guy's just got balls the size of grapefruits. And just talking about what's your ring size here in New York City, you know, in Yankee Stadium. And this was old Yankees. This is the, you know, the ghosts of Yankee Stadium are still around. and he throws a three-hit shutout to win the World Series. So since that moment, I hate the Yankees so much. So ever since that moment,
ever since that moment in time,
I've been a huge Josh Baggett fan. He just shoved it right up their butts.
Yeah,
that has nothing to do with App State, but I wish I could get my picture taken with Josh Baggett and Derek Jeter while making some sort of gesture with anyway, whatever. I'm not now it's getting more wrinkly than a Bailey shirt.
He's an ultra competitor, and that you got to admire that about him. So
yeah, 100%. So I just don't know when this episode's gonna be released. I know our patrons are gonna hear it right away, but you know, obviously, as we're recording right now, MLB draft's going on. What do you want out of this? What do you want your next step to be? I mean, obviously, it's probably to pitch professionally, but do you have? I mean, besides pitching professionally and winning World Series, throwing a three-hit shutout in Game 6 of the World Series in New York City,
exactly.
What are your aspirations and goals, man? Even beyond baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously, I've always said since I was a little kid that baseball, I'm going to play it as long as I can because you know, being a little kid and just playing the game you love is. There's something you can't beat that. So obviously I don't want no desk job or anything if I can hold it out as long as I can. So obviously tomorrow we're praying I get my name called and get an opportunity to play at the next level. If not, I have a post-draft workout possibly set up back down in North Carolina that we can explore some other options there with some professional teams. And then if none of that works out with the professional league here, I have an opportunity to potentially go play in Australia. With a couple connections I had. So I'm an adventurer, and I love the outdoors, and Australia is a place I've always wanted to go. So I figured if I go out there and play for a year or so and just get experience that and keep playing the game I love, I'm going to for sure do that. And honestly, I joke with my parents that if I go out there, I'm probably never going to move back to the East Coast. I'm gonna stay out in Australia because everyone I know out there just says it's the best place in the world. Just they love it. So obviously, my goal is just play professional baseball at any level, just keep playing the game I love. But, other than that, it was just kind of, stay in the game of baseball, whether that's coaching, being a scout, opening a baseball facility. I've worked at a baseball facility in my hometown since I was 13 or 14.
Yeah.
So just kind of, I just love giving back to the kids and just all that. So just being able to use my, what I know, knowledge of the game, just give back to whoever is willing and opening to let me do that to them, obviously. But
Caleb, honestly, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're fine. I was just gonna say, and then honestly, after baseball, my retirement plan is move to a beach or an island. there was literally never growing up, just kind of being a kid as long as I could, never taking anything too serious.
Wow,
Caleb might turn into the next Taylor Thurber, who will step on the mound in all corners of the globe.
Exactly.
So hold on a second.
Yeah, so honestly, yeah, that's go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was gonna ask Charles. We could probably write off plane tickets to Australia as a business expense, right? I mean, we could probably do that.
We probably could do it, but we got some work to do.
We need more patrons. That's what we need.
We might be able to get on a Southwest flight right now, but not go to the Southwest corner of the globe.
Well, that's right. We need more patrons.
We can get a GoFundMe like Ethan did for us. So we can get a GoFundMe going for you guys' trip to Australia.
No. We listen. Either we're valuable or we're not. That's my goal. If
you, exactly.
Sorry, Ethan. I mean, Ethan does look very handsome with his fresh cut. Did you get your hair cut?
Not yet. It's either next week or the week after. We're still trying to work out the details with the hospital, but it should be within the next week or two.
Gotcha. You're much better looking than Ethan, by the way. Just wanted to go on the record and say that. Much more handsome.
Well, thank you for that.
Yeah. That and a dollar gets you a Coke at McDonald's. I just want you to my compliments. That's how much they're worth. But, of course, we're just giving Ethan a hard time. I know Ethan's probably listening to this.
Absolutely.
Ethan knows I love him.
You have to.
Cool, man. Well, hey, you know what? I think being in the position that you're in, I think that plan sounds awesome. I really do. You know, you can have the attitude of get a real job. You know, just take advantage of what you're able to do when you're young and don't have kids or a wife, you know, just, and I'm pretty sure, they have some very attractive ladies in Australia. So I think, and I'm not saying it will be Australia. I hate to say this, I kind of want you to play in Australia so I'll have an excuse to go. so you could be the I don't know, the Cy Young of Australia. I don't know what that would even be. But no, I mean, wherever you play, man.
Steve Irwin, probably.
You'd be the Steve Irwin. Yeah. The baseball Steve Irwin? Wow. Wow. I wonder if the baseballs in Australia are kangaroo skin. Because it's horse hide up here. I wonder if it's kangaroo hide.
Horse hide, yeah. That'd be something.
Do we know? We don't know. We have no idea.
I bet you they're really expensive. I bet you the baseball's really expensive. I wonder if the ball spins a little bit differently, too. Because it's in the southern hemisphere. You ever think about that?
You know what? I have not thought about that, but we need that GoFundMe now. Never. Now that I'm thinking about it, we need that GoFundMe. We need to go figure out if the ball spins differently down under the southern hemisphere. We have to. Well, I guess it's the western end. Exactly. No, eastern. Is it in the eastern hemisphere or western?
I don't know.
I think it's in the eastern hemisphere, but it's also in the southern hemisphere.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
It's a long way away. That's all.
It's a whole long way away. Let's just put it that way. So, Caleb, exactly. Man, we're pulling for you, man. I mean, truly, obviously we have baseball memories outside of the Black and Gold podcast era, but, you know, obviously Charles and I have been following App State baseball extremely closely for the last four seasons, and you're a huge reason as to why. I mean, really, you're a huge reason as to why it was a lot easier and more entertaining to follow the team this year. You did a great job. You got a great personality. You're a good guy. So best of luck to you. And Charles, anything to say? I don't want to kind of like wrap things up without giving the world's most famous App State fan.
I just want to thank Caleb for choosing App State. You know, I mean, he obviously had some options, and you know, we'll all remember his 2 years here, and hopefully he will as well, because you know, I think we're building something here, and so, and you know, if you're not pitching in Australia or some other random place on the globe, come find the perch if you have one of those desk jobs that nobody likes.
Absolutely, that'll be my first stop. That and Dixie Tailgate.
There you go. Awesome, Caleb. We're gonna let you go, buddy. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, thank you guys so much for this. It's been awesome. So appreciate everything you guys do too.
Awesome. Thanks.